short bob with bangs. What a hairstyle reveals about femininity, impact, and the male gaze. V0.9D. We were standing in a clothing store in front of a mirror, my wife in a new top, me half a step behind her, when a saleswoman said a sentence that was much bigger than the occasion. My wife had had her short bob with bangs trimmed that day. I had already told her several times how beautiful I find this hairstyle on her, how well it suits her type, how coherent it seems. The saleswoman then said, almost in passing, and yet with a peculiar certainty, that there were only a few men who really like bangs. Bangs are often worn by strong women, and only men with class can endure something like that. She herself added that this was, of course, a strong generalization, but she had observed this pattern again and again over decades. To my real surprise, my wife did not just politely agree with this basic intuition, but visibly out of an inner recognition, that was the point at which the scene became interesting to me. Suddenly, there was not just a hairstyle in the room, but a small theory about femininity, effect, and the male gaze. And I realized that I apparently saw something completely different in the same appearance. Precisely such everyday theoretical sentences are almost always too crude, but they are rarely accidental. They bundle observations, prejudices, experience, an instinct for distinction, and a lot of messy reality. It became even more revealing because my wife apparently recognized something in the sentence that was familiar to her. Short bob with bangs, not dominance, but composed femininity. Because I do not primarily read my wife's short bob with bangs as a sign of dominance. I also do not foresee in it a threat of female independence that a man must now withstand or not withstand. For me, this look is rather a highly attractive detail of a certain femininity that I love very much. Pointed, appropriate to her type, cultivated, finely contoured, slightly French, charming, precisely not arbitrary. The bob gives shape, posture, and clarity. It does not make the face softer, but also not harder, rather more decisive. Turn, bring in charm, closeness to the face, refinement, a slightly coquettish signature, something very close and very crafted at the same time. It is precisely the combination that is the appeal for me. The bob alone could become too matter-of-fact, the bangs alone too playful. Together they create that coherence to which my gaze apparently reacts particularly strongly. Perhaps composed femininity is the most fitting expression for it. Not in the sense of a calculated effect, but in the sense of a coherent, finely placed appearance. The short bob with bangs does not strike me as defiance, but as a form in which someone comes to herself in a precise way. Why a bob with bangs is read so strongly socially? Perhaps that is exactly where part of the difference already lies. The saleswoman spoke from the perspective of social effect. She did not first see form, but resonance in the room. Not first aesthetics, but reaction. Not first the woman's head, but the men standing in front of it. The word endure was characteristic of this. It implies that such a hairstyle cannot just please or not please, but that it does something to male composure. If someone does not like it, then he may not simply dislike bangs, but the woman who in them becomes not quite pleasing, not quite compliant, not quite smoothly readable. And class in this sentence obviously meant more than taste. It meant a form of inner calmness toward female contour. The longer I thought about it, the less this reading seemed merely off the mark. Historically, the bob has never been a completely neutral hairstyle. Short, clearly contoured hair on a woman has always had something of decision, of will to form, of a small rejection of the diffuse ideal of the merely soft and flowing. Even someone who knows nothing about fashion history intuitively senses that a short bob does not look as if it just happened. It is set, it is made, and it says, someone has chosen a form here. In this respect, I can understand why women sometimes read independence into it, and why some men perceive in it not just beauty, but also a claim. A clear contour is not just pretty, it is also a statement. Bangs as a facial sign. The bangs sharpen this once again in a peculiar way. They do not sit somewhere, but directly on the face. They do not change the silhouette as a whole, but the closeness. Forehead, gaze, distance, facial expression, access. All this shifts subtly but noticeably with bangs. Perhaps this explains why they are read so quickly. They are a small stylistic detail and at the same time a direct facial sign. They can appear girlish or strict, charming or controlled, open or unapproachable, soft or very consciously designed. Precisely because they sit so close to the gaze, they almost invite projections. Perhaps that is the deeper reason why, in a store between two sweaters and a mirror, half a cultural theory can suddenly break out. What the view of the bangs also reveals about the man. What occupied me in the scene, however, was not only what my wife and the saleswoman saw in these bangs, but also what their reading said about me. Because the sentence was secretly directed against me, not maliciously, but precisely. If only men with class can endure something like that, then the man who stands in front of these bangs and loves them is no longer just an observer. He himself becomes readable. In truth, the saleswoman was not only assessing my wife, but also me. She did not simply say, "This hairstyle suits your wife." She said, "Your reaction to this hairstyle also says something." That was the real sophistication of the scene. The woman is read, and the man who reacts to this woman is read along with her. Perhaps this is socially more interesting than it appears at first glance. Women are constantly being read anyway. Clothing, shoes, hair, makeup, posture, everything is charged with attributions and seconds. What surprised me about this scene was that in the same movement, the male gaze suddenly appeared as a kind of social handwriting. Not only, what kind of woman is this, but what kind of man is this who reads this woman in this way? The bangs thus became almost a test case for taste, masculinity, and projection at the same time. Short bob with bangs form type and cultivated visibility. Femininity is shaped much more by form than one usually admits in everyday life. Form is apparently not just surface for me. Form is already a way in which someone appears in the world. Not rigid artificiality, but cultivated visibility. Not masking, but point and presence. I do not react primarily to raw dominance. I also rarely find the coarse, loud, deliberately overpowering attractive. What attracts me is rather a femininity that appears petite and precise, self-confident, but not heavy, charming, but not diffuse, visibly designed without appearing slick. The word French, which keeps coming to my mind in this context, is not a national cliché, but a style code. By it I mean a particular kind of daytime aesthetics, the combination of casualness and contour, of effortlessness and awareness of form, of charm and an almost imperceptible strictness. The short bob with bangs can carry exactly this tension. It does not appear as decorative abundance, but as edited femininity. Less mass, more line. Less diffuse romance, more signature. That is probably the point at which my aesthetic gaze becomes very clear. In this look, I admire in my wife not primarily a woman who defies the world, but a woman who comes to herself in a fine way. Pop culture, projection, and the codes of bangs. And yet it would be too simple to see in this only my private preference. Because of course this preference is also culturally co-written. One only has to think of those pop figures who for years have been staged precisely at this intersection of closeness, intelligence, restraint, and erotic charge. The fact that Anastasia Steele in 50 Shades of Grey wears such a striking fringe is by no means irrelevant in this context. Not because a film adaptation of a novel has now explained bangs, but because pop culture makes visible in such figures how hair works as a sign. For Anastasia, the bangs were never just decoration. They belong to the entire legibility of the character. Not only innocent, not only desirable, not only shy, not only controlled, but a peculiar mixture of everything. Even so, I would avoid the mistake of making such pop culture a final cause. The saleswoman in the store certainly was not thinking of Anastasia Steele. But she moved in the same semantic field. Bangs are long since no longer just a hairdresser's element. In many minds, they have become a marker at which something condenses. Intelligence or coquetry, girlishness or composure, charm or claim, approachability or slight unavailability. Two readings of the same appearance. That is precisely why the scene with my wife was so revealing. It made audible that the same appearance serves several orders at once. In the saleswoman's interpretation, my wife apparently recognized something of social effect, perhaps also something of female independence. At the same moment, I saw above all that aesthetic coherence in her that moves me. One does not cancel out the other, rather the opposite. Perhaps that is precisely what is interesting, that a woman can read an appearance for herself also as an expression of attitude, while the man who loves her perceives more strongly form, charm, type, and resonance in it. These are then not two competing truths, but two levels of the same truth. One concerns the stage, the other intimacy. One asks, how does this woman affect the room? The other, why does this woman in this particular form affect me so strongly? Productive difference instead of agreement. In relationships, people like to pretend that agreement is the highest thing. The same music, the same humor, the same political intuition, the same memory of the same evening. But that is a crude idea of closeness. it is often much more interesting when two people see the same reality differently and thereby grasp more of it. In this sense, the scene in the store was not a small irritation that one would have to smooth over, but a productive difference. My wife and I saw the same bangs, but not the same thing in them. She recognized their social effect as well. I recognized their aesthetic composition. She heard something about strength in the saleswoman's sentence. I initially heard in it a slight misreading of what attracts me to this hairstyle. In the end, neither of us was probably wrong. Short bob with bangs, perhaps. That is exactly what class is. Perhaps it is even a sign of maturity not to resolve such differences too quickly. A person's appearance is rarely only what it means to me. And just as little is it only what it triggers in the room. Anyone who loves a person must at some point learn that beauty too can carry several truths. That the woman who appears to me in a certain hairstyle as the epitome of charm and refinement may well read herself in it as more decisive, clearer, perhaps stronger. And that both readings do not devalue each other, but complete each other. By now I believe that this scene surprised me so much precisely because it showed me my own gaze more clearly. I took it for granted until my wife and the saleswoman held out to me a second reading of the same hairstyle. Suddenly I saw more clearly how much my desire runs via contour, via typological coherence, via cultivated visibility, via the fine decision against the arbitrary. At the same time, I now see more clearly that the same form in social space carries something else along with it. Independence, effect, perhaps even a slight imposition on those men who only find femininity relaxed when it looks as little like decision as possible. In the end, what remained for me from this scene was not a finished judgment, but a small shift. I still see my wife's short bob with bangs, first as I saw it that day, as something extremely coherent, as a fine framing of her face, as charm with form, as a cultivated, slightly French signature of a femininity that I love very much. But I now also see more clearly why others read more in it than just beauty. Perhaps that is exactly the opposite of confusion. Perhaps taste only begins where one allows an appearance its ambiguity. And perhaps class in the end is nothing other than not reducing a woman to the reading that is most convenient for oneself.